Christmas, everyone, and welcome to a very special episode of Remix, Reboots, and Revivals.
It's Happy Holidays.
For this particular episode, we're going to say Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Yes, I
thank
love
you.
But first, we'll say Merry Christmas, because today we're discussing Christmas music, everyone's favorite or least favorite thing about the holiday. With us today, we have a very special guest. We have with us Nicole Lippi.
Hey!
Nicole is the artistic director and founder of A Work of Heart Productions. She's produced over 30 off-Broadway shows in New York City at venues like 54 Below, where she had a one-woman show.
Oh.
Theaters in New Jersey, too. She has a mainstay in Madison, New Jersey, I believe.
Yes, Madison, New Jersey. That's where we are.
Yes, yes. So welcome. And she also is a teacher, which is also very important.
Yes.
So we have a Broadway person with us today.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you. And I love Christmas music. So, hey.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
That's good. I love Christmas music too. Do you like it, Rolando?
I despise Christmas
holiday music.
Well, you don't get that many Jewish songs outside of Adam Sandler's.
Nope. That's literally the only one.
I think that's the only one that comes to
and the dreidel song.
Yeah. No one did like a pop cover of that.
No.
That I know of, at least.
There's no Kwanzaa songs, you know, that I know of, at least.
Kwanzaa?
No.
There's one, Kwanzaa, that they teach the second graders.
Oh, no. Yeah, never.
Yeah.
Wow. I never learned that as a second grader. I think they just
made it up.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're going to give Kwanzaa a song, everybody.
So, Nicole?
Yes.
Do you prefer Nicole?
Yes.
Oh, so I have two Nicoles today. Okay.
We do. I'll be Nikki today.
All right. So
I always call Nicole Nikki.
Okay, cool. So we will call Nikki today. We'll call Nikki. Nicole, in your 30 off-Broadway plays that you've done, have you done anything Christmas themed?
Yes, we've done a lot.
Oh, yeah. Like what?
Yeah. We're doing Holiday Inn at 54 Below. Do you guys know Holiday Inn?
Mm-hmm.
The music of Holiday Inn?
The Irving Berlin one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so good. I was listening to it on the way here. We're doing that at 54 Below on December 22nd.
54 Below. Is that the restaurant that's like sub-zero temperatures?
No.
No. Okay, so I'm thinking.
No. 54 Below is it's an off-Broadway dinner theater venue.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Okay, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. It's a cool spot.
Are they tickets available at the moment?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Brian Stokes Mitchell performed there before us last time. Do you know who he is?
Yes, I know who he is.
Nikki, of course, does.
Do you watch Frasier?
Yes.
His neighbor that he always competes with.
Oh, okay. Cam Winston is who he played on Frasier. Okay.
And Norm Will, whatever. People that you guys probably don't
know.
Kristen Chenoweth performed there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
most
cool.
People know who she is.
So you'll be doing you guys are doing something there currently?
Yeah, we do. Well, we have like a monthly series there at 54 uh-huh. Below. So we perform concert musicals there. So we just got done with a Rodgers and Hart show in November, and now we're doing a Christmas show on December 22nd.
Cool. Well, be sure to add a link to tickets on the show notes.
Yeah,
for sure.
And it's a holiday themed show. So there we go.
Yeah.
The time is of the essence when you're hearing this
yes,
episode.
Yes, time is of the essence. Rolando will not be going because he doesn't like Christmas music, but
maybe Eddie Z will, who is not here with
us
today.
Who is not here today, yes, sadly. But yes, so Christmas music, guys. We're going to do a little bit of history, and then we're going to go around, and we're all going to say some of our favorite Christmas songs with the original and some songs that we think are either great or bad covers of these songs.
Gotcha.
So,
love it.
A little bit of history about Christmas music.
There's history of Christmas music?
Yes, there is. So obviously Christmas, right, is actually like a holiday stolen from the pagans.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's actually like a pagan holiday, winter solstice. And the pagans were the one who came up with the ideas of singing songs to celebrate these moments that they had. And they're also the ones that came up with the term carol, because a carol is used to be written and sung during all four seasons. And that's what the pagans did. But when the Christians kind of like took over the pagan calendar and adapted it as their own, they just held the carols for Christmas.
The Christians had the blessing of the Roman emperor at the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was terrible. So winter solstice was December 22nd, and then the Christians took and they made it December 25th. Although some people celebrate it on January 6th, All King's Day.
And oh, well, that's and typically Latino.
Latinx, and Middle Eastern.
I would say. Oh,
and
Middle
certain
Eastern also,
Asian
yeah.
cultures. So a good majority of the world actually celebrates January 6th as Christmas. Mm.
So, really? I did not know
that. Well, we know it as a, I mean, I knew it growing up as the Day of the Three Kings.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. that's what your 12 Days of Christmas actually is. It's like the days between Christmas and the Three Kings Day. Because that's, you know, when the kings brought the presents to baby Jesus.
And I think that was when he was actually recognized as the Son of God. Like in certain countries, they call it Epiphany. And that's the epiphany that they had. Like, oh my gosh, this child is the Son of God.
Interesting.
Yeah. So a little cultural stuff there. But so carols for Christmas that we know them to be weren't really a thing until the Victorian era. This is when songs like Jingle Bells and Up on the Rooftop were being composed.
Jingle Bells is Victorian?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Definitely, yep. And then it was in the early stages of the 20th century where the music that we're all very familiar with and like really kind of the music that sets up what we know as Christmas music started to occur. Songs like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. All these songs were written in the early 30s. And then right up into World War II, we had a lot of songs that we know, White Christmas, songs that had to do with Christmas and less Christian, like the Christianity idea of Christmas, but more of this like novelty idea that we had created for this holiday. And then after, I would say, the post-50s, we made a shift to celebrating the holiday and sentimentality. There's a lot of sentimental songs during the war era, like Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, which was written for people in war. I'll Be Home for Christmas, songs like that.
Oh, I thought that was written for the Jonathan Taylor Thomas movie.
Nope.
And then after the 50s, Christmas songs started becoming very romantic. You know, a lot of songs that we know past the 50s are like, All I Want for Christmas is You and Last Christmas. And no longer about family and like Christmas celebrating, but like being in love during Christmas time. And actually, I feel like one of the last popular, really, really well-known played till this day on every year on the radio was like written in the early 90s. We haven't really had new Christmas music.
True.
I mean, they're constantly releasing new Christmas music.
But
it's
covers.
Just like nothing. No, not even. It's just like the not original good. Stuff is just not good. And I would argue that the new stuff tends to be more about like greed. Like Gimme, Gimme, Gimme by Willa Ford.
Yeah.
All I Want for Christmas is, well, that's not, I guess, is, you know, the Aria Grande.
I also find a lot of these new Christmas songs that are written, they're really happy melodies and really sad lyrics. Mm-hmm. Or the opposite. Really happy melodies, but really really happy lyrics, really sad melodies.
Interesting. Yeah.
Like Kelly Clarkson's Underneath the Tree. Do you guys know that song?
No, I don't.
It's actually an awesome song to dance to, but the lyrics are extremely sad.
Huh.
That's a good juxtaposition.
Yeah, I like that.
Like I'm like dancing to it in my car. And I'm like, wait, these are really sad lyrics. But yeah, but it's also, the lyrics are also bad, but the music's good.
Yeah, I can't think of just any Christmas songs that I know that are original that have at least stayed in my mind past like one listening and like the last that I know of that was
Merry
released
Christmas,
in, like, the last
Happy
10
Holidays,
years.
NSYNC.
That was not released in the last 10 years, but
oh, that's
isn't
true,
that so been crazy to think about that NSYNC was not 10 years ago?
Yeah, that was a long time.
That's so sad.
Mind blown.
10 years now is actually not that long.
In the last 10 years, have there been any good Christmas? No, I guess not that
I can't. No,
I'm sure there are, but like,
but no.
Been a lot
oh, didn't Justin
covers.
Bieber release something?
Oh,
I think he did a song.
Maybe, and I don't want to hear it.
No.
Sorry, yeah, I agree with Nicole on that. You can play it.
I don't. If it's true, hang on, let me see.
Do you have a Justin Bieber song that you pulled? That you
no,
wanted?
God, no. I do like Justin Bieber. New Justin Bieber. Oh, actually, I'm not even gonna lie. I like I Need Somebody to Love.
I only like that song, Baby, because my niece Sophia loves
I
it.
Love that song. I do love that song. And I would like, baby, ooh, like. We can turn that to a Christmas song.
Oh, yeah. I guess his last, last 2011. Oh, that falls within the
that
last
counts.
10 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
You were right. These are all, oh, no, it turns out they're all covers.
Yeah, and also I think that nowadays
they're really all covers
are really popular. Like, you know, South Park's Christmas songs that they wrote. A lot of people are actually familiar with, like, say, Mr. Hanky and how that song goes.
The hell's that?
Mr. Hanky.
I don't know that song.
The Christmas Poo. You guys don't know about Mr. Hanky, the Christmas Poo?
I'm not the biggest South Park fan. I'm very fair-weathered on
that
show.
Oh, Love is Christmas by Sarah Bareilles. That's a beautiful song. That's a all song right. that was written in the last 10 years.
Sorry, all right, so there's Christmas songs, but you know what we all know are Christmas covers that everyone nowadays is doing their own Christmas album and doing their takes on Christmas songs that everybody loves. And that's what we're here to discuss. Mm-hmm. Some of the best Christmas covers. They can come, like, they don't have to be songs that were released now. They could be songs that were released back then that you didn't even know was a cover. And then they don't have to be that good. They could be bad. So mm-hmm. who wants to go first?
You want me to go first? I'll go first. I'm going to start off by saying that I actually, genuinely speaking, do not like Christmas songs. I used to work in retail, and when you work retail during the holidays, all you hear is nonstop Christmas music. So at a certain point, you just like hate all Christmas songs.
Absolutely.
However, there is one song that I genuinely do like, and that is Last Christmas by Wham. One of my favorite Christmas songs. There's something about it that's so like depressing that I think just kind of epitomizes what the holidays are for me, because, you know, growing up I was in the closet and stuff, so you know, all you see all these like Christmas movies that kind of really celebrate like couples, right?
Yeah,
I didn't get to fucking experience that. So the closest song that I had to like kind of relate to me is kind of Last Christmas, about a man who has a broken heart. So I guess we're going to play a little bit of it right now.
Let's play a little bit. That would be really nice if that was written for a man and it was actually a homosexual
song. I would like that song even more than I already do.
Yeah,
if that
me too.
Were the case.
I know that's kind of unfair of me, but whatever.
No, it's not. Are you fucking kidding me? Sorry, my curse on this.
So do you, what's it called? So you guys like the song?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that song.
Yeah, it's a good Christmas song. Also, it just doesn't feel like the most Christmas song.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think that's why I kind of tend to be drawn to it. But it's actually been covered a few times.
Yes.
I can tell you one of my least favorite covers.
Tell us.
It's Taylor Swift.
I actually know this cover too.
Yeah. So I actually had heard this cover without knowing it was Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. And it was when I was working retail, right? And my initial reaction, I was just so angry because I didn't know it was Taylor Swift, mind you, but I was just like, who is this child who thinks that she could sing?
So whiny.
Yeah, it was a very whiny song, and there's just no soul behind it.
Not really?
And it's just like, yeah,
I've never heard it.
Play a little bit. It's, yeah, she's just like not that. I like Taylor Swift, I do. Mm-hmm. Like, as an idea, sometimes her music can be a little hit or miss for me.
Yeah.
But this cover is just like so. She just, it just takes away everything that makes the original song so good, because I feel like with the original performance, I forgot his name already.
George Michael.
George Michael, thank you. Mm-hmm. George Michael. I should know that. I love Arrested Development. George Michael's performance.
Yes.
You could just feel like the kind of the heartache in his performance, and Taylor Swift just sings it so upbeat and bubbly that it just kind of removes all emotion from it. So it's without a doubt my least favorite cover. But I do, there is actually only one cover that I do actually enjoy.
Uh-huh.
It's nowhere near as good as the original, but it's the one cover that if it does play on the radio, I'll listen to it.
Which is?
And that is Last Christmas by the cast of Glee.
Yeah, I was about to say that
is a very, very good rendition of this song.
I'm so glad you picked that.
And it's because, you know, they do the a cappella, you know, that's what I like about, you know, Glee.
Uh-huh.
When they do like their own vocals and stuff to like do the tone. I don't know what that's called. Does anyone know what that's called?
Like their own arrangements?
No, like when they're doing like their voices to like kind of match like instruments harmonizing. Is that a thing?
Oh, when they do, you mean when they do the a cappella stuff? When
yeah.
they all come together?
I mean, like, it is a cappella, right. Yeah. I mean, that song is kind of a cappella-ish.
Yeah.
But it's one of my favorite versions, so let's play a little bit of it.
I love that version.
They're like upset with each other, so they're like, that's the whole song. That's why it works. emotion that the original Wham version had, and that is why it is the only version of the song that I actually enjoy and I listen to. So it's, I have two versions of the song on my Apple playlist, and it's both of these. And I think that's the only time that's happened with Christmas music.
Wow, you hate Christmas music, and yet you have two different versions of one Christmas song.
Because I think Last Christmas by Wham is like one of the best songs when it comes to just Christmas time.
It is. It's a goodie.
Is a goodie.
It's great.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Good choice.
Good choice.
Yes, all right. Thank you. Thank you.
Good start.
I knew yours was going to be good.
All right. You want to go, Nicole?
Sure. So mine is not, I mean, it's a New Year song. I picked Auld Lang Syne. So, I mean, that's why I was saying I was having a tricky time picking the original.
Yeah.
Because I don't really know what the original is. But I just think the background of the song is so interesting. It's based on a Scottish poem written by Robert Burns in the 1700s. And it's actually a traditional folk song. It is a traditional folk song. That's what it's written for. So the version that we all know, I think of in the scene in When Harry Met Sally, when they hear it. And that's the Louis Armstrong version of Auld Lang Syne.
Dancing pleasure, names like Louis Armstrong, Tommy Dorsey, Guy Lombardo, Duke Ellington, Ralph Macchiari, and many others. Right now, we leave Louis Armstrong here at the Downbeat Club in San Francisco and go down to Los Angeles to the terrace room of the Hotel Stafford for the music of Skinny Ennis and his orchestra. But first, let me remind all of you interested in the world today to listen to Years of Crisis on CBS Radio this Sunday over most of these stations. You'll hear our top newscasters flown in especially for this show to give you the highlights of the past year's events. That's Years of Crisis, Sunday afternoon. You hear America's favorite show on the
TV.
I feel
something
like
very sentimental about it.
And well, and in Scotland, the tradition before the clock strikes midnight, everyone stands and holds hands and sings this together, which I think is such a beautiful tradition.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And the song is about old friendships and moving on into the next year and remembering who's important to you in your life.
Right.
I just think that's such a beautiful meaning, such a beautiful message.
I agree. It's so funny. I thought the song was German.
No, it's Scottish.
Yeah, I did not know this.
Oh.
Yeah.
I probably because like the spelling of it, I think, also looks like German.
Well, when you Auld Lang Syne.
When you when you hear the cover, it will make sense. The cover. So the cover that I picked, it's like one of my favorites. You guys might hate it, but I love it. It's David Francis and Mary Campbell, M-A-I-R-I. If any of you have seen the Sex and the City movie, you might remember it from that.
Okay. Have
either of you seen the Sex and the City movie?
Yes. I cannot say that I have, actually. I've only seen the show. I've never seen the movie.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance
actually really, really pretty, and it does sound Scottish.
Yeah,
Scottish,
okay. And it's actually it's loosely translated for old times' sake, for the sake of old times. And I love that.
Yeah, that is a very, very. That's actually a very, very nice one. I could. How was it used in the movie?
Oh, have you seen the movie?
I have not seen the movie.
Are you a Sex in this? Okay,
I've seen the show.
So in the movie, Miranda and Steve, they're married and they're on a break. Have you seen it?
Yes, I've seen it.
So they're on a break. Okay, so they're separated, and it's New Year's Eve, and we all saw that coming. So Miranda's alone on New Year's Eve, and Carrie's alone on New Year's Eve because Mr. Big left her too.
Oh.
And Miranda, as we know, lives in Brooklyn.
Getting dumped for the movie. Lives in Brooklyn.
And
so far.
And it's right before midnight, and Miranda's on the phone with Carrie. She's like, "Oh my God, I'm gonna spend New Year's alone." Mm-hmm. And Carrie's like, "You're not gonna spend New Year's alone. I'm gonna come spend it with you."
Aww.
And there's no cabs. There's no cabs because the clock's about to strike midnight. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's in New York City.
Yeah.
So she schleps all the way in her Melona Blahnik and her like beautiful shoes and her beautiful high heels and like her mink coat. Aww. And this song is playing as she's like traveling to Brooklyn. It is a beautiful scene. It really is.
Oh, that sounds really nice.
It's and also about their old, like their old friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's why it works. Smart. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good cover.
Really pretty cover. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, I love that song.
That got really sweet. Yeah.
Thanks. You guys have to watch that scene in that movie.
Yeah, it's... we'll put a show link for that.
Yeah, for sure. That'd be great.
You should. I love it.
All right. So, Nicole, you saved yourself for last.
So, yeah, going around Robin here. Mine's kind of different. My song first came out in 1948. Written by Billy Hayes and J.W. Johnson, names that we're all very familiar with.
I'm not.
No.
Oh.
I know, I'm pretending. I'm like, yes, I know these people. You can't see my facial expressions on a podcast, but I was making a face. I was like, nodding like I knew.
One of the first times that it was recorded when it was written in 1948 was by a man named Ernest Tubb, and this is a good old honest country music song. And it was generally forgotten until someone named Elvis Presley came along and remade it in 1957. So here is the original version of
Blue Christmas.
Blue Christmas, which to me is the best Christmas song because it doesn't even sound like a Christmas song and you don't need to listen to it in any particular holiday because
I thought that was an Elvis original.
Yeah, so did I.
Not, here's the original.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue thinking about you.
You know, it's country. In country music, they know the blues.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they know heartache and all that
I
stuff.
Love this.
It's pretty great. It's so when you hear it, it's like, oh, it's of course this is a country song,
right?
And listening to him, it's just like, this is so fitting. Like I could hear someone like Patsy Cline singing this song and like somebody crying at a bar. Elvis took it and he made it more rock and roll. And at this point, yeah, it's synonymous with him. It's like his staple Christmas song because he did two Christmas albums, and this is, I think, his most popular song from both of them.
I'll have a blue Christmas.
So he did his standard vocals on it. And they even changed a little bit. They gave it that da-da-da-dum that was really like popular in a lot of his rock songs that we used in like One Night and a couple of other of his songs. And just for, you know, shits and giggles, when he had his big comeback special and he did the whole sit-down series and everybody sat around him, one of the biggest responses that he got from all of his songs was when he started bursting into Blue Christmas.
I'll have
And it's actually one of his best performances of the song.
Mm-hmm.
Just laid back, him, with just
effortless.
A couple of, yeah, just chilling, singing it.
Just thinking about you.
Oh, I love this.
Decorations of
so yeah, this is as good of a version as his original recording is. And actually, they even did, Martina McBride did a quote-unquote duet with him,
mm-hmm.
and then they took it as so far as to superimpose her into the comeback special for the duet, mm-hmm. and it's like they're singing it together. It's a trip, but it's actually a pretty good cover of the Blue Christmas duet with Martina McBride and Elvis. So weird technology they can do that
now. Has
days.
Blue Christmas been covered since Elvis?
Yes,
it has.
Ugh. But you know,
I can't.
We don't talk about that.
We don't.
I actually don't even think I've ever heard a cover like on.
Well, the Browns radio. Did one in the 60s, and Shaken Stevens did one in the 80s, and the Martina McBride did the duet with Elvis, and that's about it because Elvis.
Right.
He literally owns it.
Yeah. So I think that's a proper like cover. And it's also, again, it just doesn't sound like a Christmas song. It's just a good old fashioned rock and roll song.
It really, seriously.
Yeah. For people who claim that they love Christmas music right now, I have not heard much. Christmas music.
Listen,
that's true.
Yeah, I wonder if anyone of us is going to choose Jingle Bells.
Does anyone really like Jingle Bells?
Jingle Bells is a pretty good song. I like the Sinatra version of Jingle Bells.
Frank Sinatra.
I got those J-I-N-G-L-E.
Yeah, that's a cute one.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
Really? That's good.
Again, I try to avoid Christmas music.
I know. It's like literally like a shiver. But honestly, if you hear Christmas music any time of year, any other time of year, isn't it like the shiver up your spine? It's like, ugh.
Like, don't do that.
Like, usually. No.
Yeah. That's exactly it, I think. The moment you hear Christmas carol, Christmas music on the radio, you just know it's just like, shit. Yeah. It's like, it's winter. And I think the other problem is like, the beef that I have with like Christmas music in general is just because of the hyper commercialization of Christmas.
Yes. That's not the song's fault.
It just starts the popular culture, like, you know, they're churning out this music and they're still churning it out. I like I said, a lot of it isn't popular anymore, like the new stuff, but they're still making it. Do you guys remember Now That's What I Call Music?
Yes.
So, you know, they had like Now That's What I Call Christmas Music.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. I think they had like a few of those. And like, I remember some of those songs. Like, I remember hearing Britney Spears, Destiny's Child. That's where I heard Willa Ford. All these, like, you know.
Oh my God, the Britney Spears song. Santa, can you hear me? Oh, good
for you. You know that song.
Oh my God, do I know that song?
Yeah. It's like not a well written song, but it's catchy. But that's what another songs are. Yeah. It's just like.
Another one about greed. Like you said before, newer songs about what I want. What do I want?
It's about me. Except for, I guess, one Christmas song that isn't is that one about the shoes.
The Christmas shoes. That song is so sad.
It is. It's like a poem.
That song is literally like rips my heart out.
With like a melody attached.
But I think if you're listening, but I think the music that's the most beautiful about Christmas music is the stuff that rings so true. Family, friendship, nostalgia.
Yeah.
You know?
I would agree.
Yes.
Taking certain things for granted and not taking things for granted. You know? That's what I love about Christmas music.
Well, I love Christmas music that is about the meaning of Christmas, which is the birth of the baby Jesus.
Uh-huh, totally.
Which is why my next choice is Mary, Did You Know? Yes.
Well, who's the original?
So the original one was by Michael English. He was a performer. It came out in 1991. So here's the interesting thing, right? I actually thought it was a lot older than this.
That soon?
Yeah. I thought Mary, Did You Know was actually like a biblical song or something.
It's not a biblical song.
It's not a biblical song. It was written, it was for a... And Michael English apparently was like this Christian, music performer. Right. So it was written in like it was written in the 80s, but it didn't get recorded until 91.
I don't even think I know this song. I'm gonna play it.
Play it.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I've definitely never heard this.
Why would you ask?
What is this?
Have you heard this song so in general, though? You've never heard this song. Oh, this is a good song.
Okay.
The song.
It sounds like 98 degrees.
Yeah. The song is so preachy. But at the same time, though, I think the reason I actually do like this song in general is because, I went to Catholic school. So, you know, we've heard the story of like Mary getting the message from Gabriel and we know the nativity story, right?
Yeah.
And I think the reason I actually do like this song, though, is because if whoever wrote the song was kind of putting this like, I don't know if you're supposed to be like one of the shepherds or one of the angels talking to Mary. But like the question is like, Mary, did you know that your baby's going to do all these great things? Mm. So it's kind of like, again, it's a very preachy song. But like, I think it really kind of, there's something like kind of magical about knowing that like Mary maybe herself, like she knew it was going to be the son of God, but like she didn't know the great things that he would accomplish if this is the faith you believe.
Right.
You know, obviously. But like, you know, I like that one. And the Michael English version, I remember hearing it like years ago, right? And I think it's dated. I mean, just from hearing that little piece, like you kind of feel 90s. It's just like, yeah, right? But very recently, it was actually Eddie Z who introduced me to a version of that song that I find really, really good, and that was the cover done by Pentatonix.
Yep, this is the one I know.
Yes,
this is
the one, and they have a good cover. And I guess my two choices that I picked was obviously I'm going a cappella. I like harmony. I like groups that sing together. It feels like very Christmas carol-y. Mm-hmm. Mm. So let's play a little bit of it.
Let's play a little bit.
This is lovely. I like this one.
Pretty.
I love it.
Yes, I think Pentatonix kind of captures almost like the mysticalness around it, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because I think what I like about Pentatonix is like they don't use instruments. Their instruments are
It's amazing.
Voices,
it's incredible.
And they sound great. Yeah, did you guys see them at the Grammys when they performed, I think, Star Wars? Like they did the bum, 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 bum.
No, I didn't see that.
They did a performance in honor for Star Wars, and it was just them harmonizing.
That's sick.
Yeah, they're great. And this song, like, I think they really just kind of capture there's like a power that they have in their voice, in their performance in the song, that really kind of captures what I think what real Christmas is all about, right? I was just complaining about the commercialization of Christmas.
Right.
Yeah.
Not that I'm like, I am not the most Catholic person by any means and stuff, but like for the most part, like as a Catholic though, you know, I have the belief that like Christmas is either, it's about family, mm-hmm. and specifically about the birth of our Lord and Savior.
Right.
I'm saying honor the holiday properly is all I'm saying.
Okay.
Despite the fact that I'm not like a big,
I was about,
I'm not
to
a
say.
Firm believer. I'm not, but I'm just saying, it's just like, if you're going to do a song, like do a song about the,
yes,
the true meaning of Christmas here. And I think the best part is also like the line of the song. It's like, when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mm-hmm. Did you know this, Mary? And like, Mary did not know.
Yeah.
It's like, surprise, Mary.
I liked that choice, though.
That was cute. I mean, there's a lot of religious Christmas songs.
You don't hear them a lot on the radio anymore.
No, you don't really hear like "Oh Holy Night" or "Silent Night" or "Little Town of Bethlehem."
Oh, "Silent Night" is such a good song. Yeah. Yeah, "Silent Night" is.
Josh Groban has a gorgeous Christmas album. Have you guys heard it?
No,
I cannot. I may have actually heard a couple of them.
Stop it! His voice. He sings "Oh Holy Night." Like,
does he? Mm. You know who does a great version of "Silent Night" that we didn't pick?
Miley Cyrus.
Boys to Men. They did it all a cappella.
Yes, I've actually heard this. Yes.
That's, I think, a phenomenal one.
Were you serious about Miley Cyrus?
Did you guys watch the Bill Murray Christmas special last year?
No.
Miley Cyrus can sing, okay? She sang a version of Silent Night.
Yeah.
Not a cappella, I don't think. Oh my God, it was beautiful.
Yeah. No, I like Miley Cyrus's voice. Like she sings.
Yeah.
You wouldn't expect it because she's cheapened herself. But I mean, she hasn't. Lately, she's made a little bit of a comeback, I feel.
A little bit.
Yeah.
There.
Her voice is just so deep.
If you listen to our Charlie's Angels episode a while back, like she was in that new song, the Don't Call Me Angel with Ariana Grande.
Which is Ariana's song plus Miley and Lana.
And Lana
Which
Del
they
Rey.
Totally sexified, but whatever.
Which is definitely a weird contrast to the tone of the film.
Yes. So be sure to check out that episode, Charlie's Angels, Sexploitation.
Yes.
Ooh.
All right. So Nicole, what's your second choice?
Now I'm like, Silent Night, Miley Cyrus. Now I've had that in my head. All right, but now that we're talking about Josh Groban, so I think, like we were talking about family, and I know you were saying I'll be home for Christmas for the troops and stuff, but I think something that I at least take for granted, living so close to my family and growing up in New Jersey, living in New Jersey and seeing my family for the holidays, how many people cannot and don't? And I don't know. So, but the original I'll Be Home for Christmas is Bing Crosby, which I think 1939, I want to say.
Yes.
Or 1920. Mm-hmm. No, it'll be 1939.
Oh, I don't think I've heard the Bing Crosby version. Oh, maybe I have. Yes, I have. That's a good. Yeah.
Just like very low. I don't know. I think Bing Crosby's kind of overrated.
He's not my favorite of the crooners. Not by far. 1943, yeah. Which is more so World War II era.
1943. Okay, yeah. So that was, I thought it was 1933. Okay, so yeah, that was probably why it was written and why it was out.
So this song is really about, like, you know, it's, literally what is it, coming home from the war?
Yeah, definitely.
That's so, like, depressing.
A comfort for your
so
loved
many
one
Christmas
who is
songs
off
are so depressing.
Yeah. I think the best ones are depressing.
The best ones are depressing.
If it doesn't make you cry, it's not good.
Or about kissing baby Jesus' face. Or,
which makes you cry because it's just like, it's baby Jesus.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and prayers.
You can already pause it. I'm already bored. If you don't agree, that's fine.
It's not one of his best. He does
white
Christmas well.
I don't love it.
I mean, I like it for the nostalgia factor of it. I've heard it in so many movies and TV shows that it's just like,
yeah,
it's like ingrained in me as like a very typical Christmas song.
Yeah,
definitely one of those songs that, like, when I'm hearing it on the radio, I'm just like, I'm changing.
I always felt that way about it until I heard this version.
Which one?
Josh Groban's I'll Be Home.
This was a natural segue. I love it.
That was very natural.
Yeah. It was. It's beautiful.
This is Captain Patrick Hawken, and I want to wish a very Merry Christmas to my family in Tennessee and to my beautiful girlfriend in California. I miss you all, and I'll be home soon.
My name is Specialist Brooke Frisk, and I'm in Baghdad, Iraq. I would like to wish all my family and friends in Georgia and Wisconsin a very Merry Christmas. I'm really going to miss spending the holiday.
I'll see you guys real soon. Love you guys.
I am dreaming tonight of a place I love even more than I usually do. And although I know it's a long road back, I promise.
You don't have to love it, but I love it.
I like Josh Groban. Wait, yeah. What's your opinions on Josh Groban, Nicole?
He doesn't bother me.
You know why I like him? Actually, maybe because of Always Sunny is why I started checking him out.
He has a great sense of humor.
Yeah,
he has
really
a humor
does.
About himself.
Oh my God,
yeah.
He was in Always Sunny. But he was in Glee too. Remember that episode? That episode?
Yeah.
I think his voice is one of the most beautiful voices ever. I love him.
Yeah. This is good. I like the arrangement for this song. It changes up the, you know, the original song.
It's like a completely different song. In my opinion, mm-hmm. I think it's like a completely different song. It's like an anthem.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's so funny is that this was one of my original choices.
It was?
But my cover was going to be the Elvis one. I opted for Blue Christmas instead of my favorite Elvis song because for me growing up, I didn't want to get too personal. But my dad was sick really early on in, like, my childhood, mm-hmm. and then he died really early. And so for me, I'll Be Home for Christmas was always, like, my dad singing it to me.
Mm.
So that's, like, a sentimental one. But I didn't want to get too personal.
No, Nick, I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that is. Well,
now you know.
Yeah.
But yeah. So nice choice, because I almost picked that too. So.
And that's what I mean about just, like, Christmas and talking about, like, one of the reasons why to hate Christmas music is almost assuming that everyone is happy that this time of year and that everyone has a present.
Point.
Everyone has a present to open under the tree. Everyone has a dad. Yeah, everyone has two parents. Everyone has a family to sit around a table mm-hmm. with. Everyone has a meal to put on their table. I mean, some people can't afford to even have a meal on Christmas Day or have nowhere to go or mm-hmm. have nowhere to be.
Right.
But I think that song kind of.
I mean, you know,
makes me think that.
Yeah, I mean, no. As someone who genuinely complains about Christmas music and stuff, like so far the choices that we've been hearing have been like kind of almost antithesis to Christmas music that we've been
kind
picking.
Of, yeah,
because, I, like I said, I complain all the time about like here in the New York metropolitan area, we have 106.7 Light FM. Mm-hmm. And as soon as a certain date hits, like, they are playing Christmas music 24/7 and stuff.
Yeah,
and
nonstop. Then,
like I said, it's just like a lot of them that you hear, it's just like all about either me, love, 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 love. And it's just like, you know, what about the people who don't have it? That's why I'm a firm believer that the best Christmas music is sad music.
Yeah, well, I also think that we kind of forget what the holiday is supposed to be about. Mm-hmm. And we just get caught up in the consumption and the consumerism and all of that about it. And, like, you know, these companies are definitely pandering to us and our, like, love for it and, like, all the, like, you know, the little kitschies and all the things that you want and, like, to do for it. But it's like Christmas is really just about family and all that mm-hmm. stuff. And I think that's why I also, like,
and baby Jesus.
Want people to re-examine, those who hate Christmas music, just re-examine it, because this is actually, a lot of these songs are coming out of a place of love and family and togetherness and all that stuff, unless it's a song that just really wants to
and it's like that with really it. Anything like people yeah. always know how to ruin things that are beautiful.
That's true. That's a very good point,
you know. Yeah. And abuse things that are fucking actually meant to be beautiful.
Light FM. Mm. F you for ruining Christmas music for Rolando.
I won't say F you Light FM because, like, they did give a job to Delilah, who I love as a DJ. So come on, Delilah.
Yes, Delilah.
Come on, Delilah. Delilah.
Hey there, Delilah.
Okay, well, I'm actually gonna then choose a song that I feel like a lot of people don't really think of when it comes to Christmas songs, because there's no lyrics to it other than the title of the song over and over and over again. And this song
is it yes. Feliz Navidad?
No. Oh. Yes! Do not like that song.
Come on.
That's another one of those where it's just like, it's a little too much, but
all right, we get it.
This is from, to me, one of the best Christmas albums of all time. My sister and my whole family, we put it on repeat, so, you know, I think of my house and my home and my family when I hear this. And Rolando thinks of Arrested Development. I don't know what you think of, but this is from the Charlie Brown Christmas album. Yes! By Vince Guaraldi.
I definitely think of Arrested Development.
You definitely just think of a sad George Michael with his head down. Mm-hmm. Walking out. But my choice for this is Christmas Time Is Here. Yes. By the Vince Guaraldi Trio.
I'm so glad you picked this one.
It's just a mood.
It's just a mood. It's right.
It's atmosphere. And to me, this is Christmas. Mm-hmm. You can almost, like, picture snow falling, you know, just, like, drinking hot cocoa, enjoying the atmosphere. It's just so lovely. Well, actually only 1 year ago, this band that I guarantee you've never heard of called Kuroga Agaben, they're from New York, I'm pretty sure. They're from this country, but they're their influences are, they are really into Thailand. Music from the 60s. That's their influence.
Okay.
That's their sound. It's the craziest thing.
Where are you taking me, Nicole?
So yeah, what they decided. I was like, you can't remake Christmas Time Is Here. You just can't do it. But Kuroga Agaben did. And they did probably the chillest, most beautiful, greatest cover I've ever heard of any Christmas song. So just listen to this and listen to how good they did it. So chill. They even got those background vocals. So yeah, you can be just like chilling.
Love this.
Yes. Yeah.
And but like
that's not
still
easy
in the
to
Christmas
do.
Mood. Yeah. They I think they killed it, honestly. They did their style and their sound.
I think it's refreshing.
And they respected the song.
I think it's like a good facelift on the song.
Yeah.
Because you're right, that is a very, very good Christmas song. Again, it's one of those things where I think it's, you're right, it's atmospheric.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you're listening to that, you're just like in a mood already.
And yes.
Obviously, Arrested Development has tainted it a little for me because it's now a very sad mood usually what it's accompanied with.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I you know what it makes it such a good song? It's like kind of haunting.
It is. Yeah, I mean, it lingers.
It has like a little kid singing, right? Christmas time
yeah.
is here. Uh-huh. Like it's like scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. And let's be real, like the reason like why so many horror movies use children is because they're scary. So, again, choosing a Christmas song that is kind of weird.
Yeah.
But it's no, it is a good Christmas song. This one does not get enough airplay.
It
at
doesn't.
Least when I used to be in retail, nowhere near enough replay because like this is for sure one of my favorite Christmas songs.
Yeah, oh, I think definitely. It's a great album. The whole album has that vibe. You know, it's just the trio, the piano, the bass, and the drums. And
Charlie Brown? It's brilliant.
Charlie Brown Christmas. It's a great album.
What's the other, like, is there any other famous songs from the Charlie Brown Christmas?
Well, the Charlie Brown theme song is on that album.
Yep.
Yeah. They also do the Christmas song, you know, chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Pass.
I love that song.
That's a great song.
Shut up. So the Nat King Cole version, though? Come on.
I can't say I know it off the top of my head. Which one's
the original. So the original is Nat King Cole.
That it's just like yeah.
Yeah.
Who's the one I think I hear the most? It's Vanessa Williams is the version I hear. Like,
really?
A lot.
Really?
I don't like any other version of that song yeah. except for Vanessa the Nat King Cole version. No.
Wow. Williams. Hmm. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, that was my second choice.
I loved that. I think it's also important to remake some of these songs too
yeah.
because
remind people
yeah and yeah. because sometimes if you get so caught in the nostalgia it really is kind of depressing
yeah
that's
like,
true
I sometimes get depressed listening to Christmas music too much like from the original stuff because you just think yeah. you think about sad stuff
mm-hmm. oh mm-hmm. for sure
at least I do for, you know I think we I've, all do
yes
yeah
yes
you know
I mean,
it's refreshing to hear something new. That's yeah. good. Something new that's good.
A new relationship yeah. with it.
Said it's more depressing, but it's bad.
Yeah.
It's like, what is this?
Oh, man. Yeah. Good Christmas music. Well, I can tell
you
what
good
is...
Christmas music. Thanks, Ro.
I'm going to... Well, I can tell you now.
Yeah! Have we changed
song...
your mind?
No, because the next one is going to prove, like, everything I hate about Christmas
okay,
music.
Let's hear it.
Oh, boy.
And this is... So we're at the bottom of the last... What is it? How's this phrase go? Top of the...
Top of the ninth?
Is that it?
Sure. Oh, yeah. I know. Sure. Right there. Yeah. That's cool.
You can tell I'm
we gay. Don't know sports references, guys.
Yeah, we're
not the crowd.
No, absolutely not.
Okay. So I'm going to just go right out and say it. I might get a lot of hate on this because people revere...
I'm excited to hear it.
You know, the Beatles, but Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas Time is one of the worst songs of all time. Not just Christmas songs. Songs of all time.
Yeah.
No!
Despise yeah. it. You're a fan?
Oh my god, I love that song.
Wow, I can't with that song and the synths.
Okay, let me hear it.
I just like, let's play some.
Let's play
yeah.
a little bit.
The party's up. Oh, I love this song. I was listening to it today. Like, I love this song. Okay. Come on, Orlando, dance with us.
I won't.
The spirit's up. We're here tonight. And that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
He's not having it.
I'm not having it at all.
He's simply not having a wonderful Christmas time.
Without a doubt.
Scrooge.
When I first heard this song, I immediately had like a revolt. I just can't stand. I think it's the synths. I also
yeah.
think it's partly like the happiness behind the song of like simply. I think that's all he says, right? Oh no, he,
no,
has
he
lyrics,
says all this song.
But like
a choir of children.
I can't with this. Song. You know what it is? It's just like don't tell me how to have my Christmas. You know, like I am very much upset. Anytime I hear this song, I do immediately turn off the radio. Or if I was working at Stop and Shop, where you would have mm-hmm. seen me growing up, mm-hmm. I would have just tried to go anywhere to like get out of the store to like not listen to it. This is without a doubt. I just have such a like immediate reaction to the song. I don't know where it
you
comes
just
from.
Despise it.
I do. It's like one of my least favorite songs. So it's just like I know everyone loves the Beatles and stuff, but like my counter argument to like,
but this is so
the...
different than the Beatles.
It is.
The Beatles would.
But I feel like my counter friends. Argument to like the Beatles' love is always just like, no, Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney. That's your music god. That's what he creates. I won't have it. I
now,
will never have it.
See, I think Happy Christmas War is overrated.
Which song?
What? I think Happy Christmas War is Over is the overrated Christmas song.
Is that a Paul McCartney?
That's the John Lennon.
Oh, John Lennon. I can't say I've ever heard that one.
You don't know
that one? Oh, yes.
And then the kids are in the back.
You're right. I didn't even know that was John Lennon.
That's John Lennon, yeah. I like that song.
It's a little peachy.
Well, John Lennon.
So the guy who picked Mary Did You Know, which is literally like peachy.
Yeah.
So the irony is not lost on me. But
Mary Did You Know.
Mm-hmm. So, Wonderful Christmas Time, one of my absolutely least favorite songs.
Okay.
Come to discover that it's been covered by, of all people, Jimmy Buffett.
No.
And let me tell you, I will never want to listen to Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney, but I do see myself listening to Jimmy Buffett's version. And that's like if I'm sitting on a beach somewhere for Christmas.
Drinking a margarita. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well,
let's listen to it. And let's get into the tropical blue.
I'm so mad. I'm so mad.
Just see yourself on a beach.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I can
just see myself on a beach. I'm drinking from a coconut.
Yeah, definitely. Jimmy Buffett. Right. Oh no! The spirits are we're here tonight, and that's enough.
Simply having a wonderful. Come on, this song is so much more chill than like the Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
So well, I have, like I said, I had no desire to listen to Paul McCartney's version ever. This one, I have literally a reason. I'm never going to go out of my way to listen to it unless I'm on a beach on Christmas season.
Right. Mm. You don't love it, but you're like, okay, it's more like, bearable. Yeah,
I have a way that I will listen to this, and only one way, for the most part, like my least favorite Christmas song.
It also makes sense, though. If that song were going to be written, it makes sense that it would be on a tropical island.
That's true. Yeah. Because you're drunk, so of course you're just simply having a wonderful Christmas song.
Yeah, that's the best
song.
Part about Jimmy Buffett music, right?
Yeah.
Listening to it drunk.
You just have to be a drunk asshole to listen to Jimmy Buffett.
Sorry. You do, but just be real. Jimmy Buffett music is so chill.
That's it, though. Like, what else do we got
there? Margaritaville, Brown Eyed Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Those are the only
Brown Eyed Girl isn't that Van Morrison?
Cheeseburger in Paradise. Oh, I think he did a cover.
Oh, so you just like the covers,
right? Is Van Morrison one that goes sha la la la?
Yeah, yeah, that's Van Morrison.
Oh,
yeah,
so Jimmy Buffett does have a cover of that one. And Cheeseburger in Paradise, obviously the namesake of the restaurant.
Brilliant song. They made a freaking musical about it. So
did they really?
Yeah, it's called Margaritaville.
I didn't know.
Yeah. Shocker that that's what they called it.
Just really, yeah.
Is it literally about a lost salt shaker?
I don't even know what it's about, but I just know that they made a musical called Margaritaville.
I mean, it lends itself obviously
Jimmy
to the
Buffett's
musical
Margaritaville, I think.
Even... Oh, of course. Jimmy Buffett always has his name stamped on everything.
Yeah, seriously,
like,
man.
Jimmy Buffett's Cheeseburger in Paradise.
Yeah.
My cousin saw him surfing one time. They're like, that's Jimmy Buffett. I'm like, you know what Jimmy Buffett looks like?
That's a good point. I have no idea what Jimmy Buffett looks like.
Really? Like, you don't know what he looks like?
No clue.
Look him up.
Does he look exactly surprised. What you'd expect?
What do you expect?
I'm expecting like a 6 foot man, blonde, like
yes, blonde
hair.
Tan.
Mm. Oh, no hair. He's bald.
No.
He's not Jimmy like, Buffett. Just patches
no.
of hair.
Then nothing like you'd expect.
Is he overweight?
He seems pretty like fit for his age.
Okay, that is not what I expected.
Yeah, that's what I expected at all.
Like, you know, Jimmy Buffett! You don't even have that going for you.
He's wearing like a hoodie. He should be wearing like a tropical shirt.
Yeah.
A floral print shirt. I'm very disappointed right now.
You'd also think that someone like that doesn't really write good music is like exceptionally hot, but I'm just curious.
He has a fan base.
He has a strong fan base.
He really does.
Yeah. I'm crazy. Well, I get it.
Wow.
People want to be drinking margaritas on the beach.
Jimmy Buffett doing a better job than Paul McCartney.
I'm really offended by that, but I'm okay. I'm just kidding.
I feel like I'm going to get like a lot of messages on Instagram.
Yeah, you were
going to
get
Facebook
the hate mail.
Okay.
All right. Last round of choice for you, Nicole.
I feel like I'm going to surprise you with this one, Nicole.
Ooh.
So I think that I really don't like Judy Garland's Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Why?
I didn't even know she had a version.
She was the first person.
Oh, was she really?
And Meet Me in St. Louis in 1944.
She sings it to Tootie, her little sister, right before their family is leaving to move to New York. and she's singing the song to make her feel better.
Yeah. The context of the film doesn't really make sense. But it was also, again, 1944. This is clearly a World War II song that they had to somewhat market in the film.
Mm-hmm.
So they put it into the scene where they're going to leave their home.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like unhappy. So she's singing, no, have yourself a merry little Christmas. It's going to be okay because we're going to be together.
But mm-hmm. it doesn't really...
It doesn't land.
I think... Yeah, I just think it's so unbelievably tragically sad, that song.
Yeah.
But the lyrics aren't. From now on, all troubles will be out of sight. Okay, my troubles don't seem like they're going away. They seem like they're going to be worse.
That's fair. Yeah, you're right. So this is, for sure, the song that gets, like, remade a lot.
Mm-hmm. All the remakes are bad, too, for the most part.
I tend to feel the same as Nicole here. On this song, whenever I hear him, just like, ugh.
I think it's overrated.
Yeah, the song as a whole.
So is this your pick, or is this...
However, do you want to listen to the original first?
Yeah, okay.
I'll tell you my remake that
Nicole's crying as she types.
Yeah, I'm just like, this is heartbreaking.
Because I love Judy Garland, obviously.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be
like I want to cry with just the opening, you know.
Next year all our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas.
Well, they actually changed a couple of the lyrics as time went on because this was too much like specific for this time period.
Mm-hmm.
In the original, she says, "One day soon we all will be together," but mm-hmm. they changed it to "Through the years we will all
through the years together, we all be together,"
you know, to make it more adaptable and stuff. Because you know they're not together right now.
I just think it's so tragic.
It's pretty sad. Yeah.
It just makes me so sad. But I really love the James Taylor version.
James Taylor,
interesting.
I love James Taylor's entire Christmas album. It's really mm-hmm. pretty. My mom loves it too.
Okay, I can't say I'm familiar. So
yeah, let's.
It's lovely. I like it.
These freaking ads are killing me on YouTube. God. Just stop. It's Christmas. We don't need this.
The best is when you get
the
an
most
ad.
Ads.
Yeah.
No, the best is when you get an ad, though, that's like, and then it just like shouts at you. You're like, oh my God.
Christmas future is far away. Christmas past is past. Christmas present is here today, bringing joy that may last. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. May your heart be light. In a year our troubles will be out of sight.
Oh, that's pretty.
From now on, have yourself a merry little...
I don't know. I love this version.
It's very nice.
This is a very nice version. I've never heard this version before.
I love it.
Yeah, it's good. So your mom introduced you. So why do you like this version?
I don't know. I have a younger sister myself. So I guess in the context of the movie, I just think if your objective is to make somebody feel better, like things are going to get better. Why would you sing it like that?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like it's just so self-indulgent. It's like, okay, it's Judy Garland. So we have to make this big, beautiful, mm-hmm. booming, like, song that's just going to make people cry. It's like, no, but I don't think that's the purpose of it. I think the purpose of it is... In a year, all troubles will be out of sight, little girl. Like, it's going to be good. Don't mm-hmm. worry about it.
Yeah.
I think it's just more pure that way. And it's just, I don't know, it just makes hits sense. Home.
No, yeah. I would agree with you.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's just how I feel about the song.
Okay.
What about you, Nicole? Because, I mean, you worship Judy Garland, right?
Yeah, no, I'm a pretty big
As do Judy. I. As do I. Like, I love her.
So I want to hear it. Duke it out, well, guys.
But that's the thing. Like, the song is also so embedded in our pop culture so that by the time you see the movie, you've heard it a million times. You've heard it many Christmases before. So when you watch it in the context of the film, it's a little jarring because you just didn't think that this would be the atmosphere in which the song would be sung.
What is the atmosphere exactly? I've never seen this movie, so.
Well, again, so they're leaving their town and their home of St. Louis. And
they're really rich.
The family's kind of like being torn apart because of it. Oh. And the very little sister, like 8-year-old little sister, is just devastated this Christmas because they can't even really celebrate it. So she comes to her room and she like sings this to her.
It's like riches to rags.
No, I mean, they never lose their wealth. It's just they're a really privileged family.
They live in St. Louis.
They're leaving their beloved city of St. Louis. They don't want to move to New York.
Why? But they're rich.
Because their home is there. That everyone they know is there. They love the town. Oh. It's just like an old town movie.
And she's like, it's going to get better. But it actually sounds like it's going to get worse, honestly. I don't know.
So is this a Christmas movie?
No, it's not.
Oh, so it's just one song that. Yeah. And it becomes like one of our Christmas staples.
Do you know the trolley song?
The clang, clang, clang. Oh, I do know that song. Yes.
That's what Meet me at St. Louis. All ties back into the Sex and the City movie. There's a huge reference to this movie in Sex and the City because Jennifer Hudson, who's in the Sex and the City movie, is from St. Louis, and she makes Carrie Bradshaw watch Meet Me in St. Louis.
Oh, look at that.
Does she really?
During the holidays.
Girl knows her good movies.
And she gave my one movie reference I've made, Sex and the City movie.
You guys, we're going to put a link to the Sex and the City movie now available on Netflix. Oh,
so good.
You should watch it.
There's anything you got out of this, guys.
Yeah.
All right, Nick, let's hear yours.
Well,
last
I was
but not
really
least.
Torn for my one because I really wanted to put like, you know, I really like the Muppets and I wanted to put like a Muppet Christmas song, but like
what Muppet Christmas song?
The 12 Days of Christmas, because there's so many Muppets that they all take turns singing, but there is no real original of it. It's such a song that's been around forever.
Yeah,
like, I don't even have anything to compare it to.
Yeah, because the 12 Days of Christmas is all about the Epiphany.
Yeah.
Like no, because what's it called? I know the way, at least the history of the song, the reason it's like the 12 days are like so weird is because it was code because they weren't allowed to celebrate Christmas yet, right? This is when the Romans are still killing Christians.
Well, look at you.
Yeah. So this was all coded language.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just liked it because, you know, first Miss Piggy and then Fozzie and then Gonzo and all this stuff. But I didn't pick that. I just wanted to kind of end on a good old-fashioned Christmas song. So here's what I think is one of the quintessential Christmas songs. The original, it was made as an orchestral version by Leroy Anderson and His Pops Concert Orchestra. And the song is called Sleigh Ride.
Oh.
So this is the original.
This is the original.
And there's no music and no lyrics?
No lyrics.
Oh. Oh, that's so funny. Sometimes I hear this on the radio and I'm just wondering, because it's like, wait, I thought they were lick.
So then the Andrews sisters, I think, were the first people to come up with lyrics for it and stuff. And it wasn't a Christmas song for a while, actually. It was just kind of like a wintertime song. Then it became a Christmas song. Honorable mentions of people who do the song are Ella Fitzgerald and the Carpenters. But to me, the best is the Ronettes.
Yeah.
Who?
Yes,
the
Ronettes. Girl.
Is that who?
This is.
Oh.
So good.
This whole album. This is just pleasant, good old, like, happy, great Christmas spirit music. Let's get Ronnie Spector.
For some. I'm not nodding my head along.
You're just like, okay.
Yeah, this is such a fun song. You know, I think it's great. I think I just love, it's so high energy. It's, you just want to dance. It's a great song.
It is very high energy. Yeah, I'm not feeling like dancing though, but.
Well, I never, I've never really seen you want to dance in general.
That's a good point.
I don't know how many songs
it's gonna make an interesting wedding in February.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, sorry,
that's good.
When you said, fun. Yeah,
when you said orchestral, mm-hmm. I thought you were gonna do like Harold the Bells and like do
the Metallica one.
Not Metallica. It's like the something harmonic. The guitar symphony people.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Called. No.
The no. North Band. I forgot what they're called.
I know. Yeah, name, but the you know. dun, Manhattan Steamroll. Yeah. Whatever. No. I don't know. But I know what you're talking about.
Something orchestra. Yeah, but they do like it's like guitars only.
Yeah,
it's like a whole orchestra.
Oh, just yeah.
Yeah, no.
Ding
dong. That's a little overrated. People like it just because it's like cool and rocky, but it's whatever for me.
I mean, that song is old at this point too.
Yeah,
it's like almost a decade, I think, at this point. Probably more.
Yeah, more, definitely more.
Yeah, see.
But yeah, but all right, this was a lot of fun
for some.
This was for Lana. Do you like Christmas music now?
Actually, your choices for most of your choices, I actually think were good. Most.
Oh, it gives his approval.
I'm trying to think of which ones for sure. Oh, you know, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas has never been one of my favorite Christmas songs. And as I complained about Wonderful Christmas Time. So.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. And but I picked that. So.
Jimmy Buffett is just.
He's like life goals.
Yeah.
He absolutely. Has like a devoted fan base that hasn't given up on him. Mm-hmm. He sings about alcoholism.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Makes a living off
and
of
makes it okay.
Much. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he does not have hair, which is shocking.
No, right. That's shocked.
That's something I learned today.
Yeah.
It's not the surf boy you guys were hoping he'd be. But
yeah.
On that note, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. May your calendars be ringing.
Happy holidays
to you. Actually, I was like, I didn't know the lyrics.
But you knew and you sang the right notes.
Just a like, to
let's
you.
Wrap it up, yeah. To you.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Nicole. This
oh
was
my
a lot
God,
of fun.
This was so fun. I love this.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Yes. It was great to have you.
Thank you. Really
you have a wonderful voice.
Oh, thanks so much.
You can hear her in person. There's a show link to her performance at 54 Below.
And where can people find you on Instagram?
So we're a Work of Heart Productions on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And if you want to follow me, I'm Nick Lip. Nicole Lippy. If you want
N-I-C-L-I-P, right?
N-I-C-L-I-P and a Work of Heart Productions.
You cool.
Very cool. If you wish.
Happy holidays, guys.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, everybody.
May your calendars be ringing. Happy holidays.
To you.
Yay. All right. Well, until next time.
Stay unoriginal.